Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gabaza, and for today, we are looking to the SME sector, the small to medium business sector, just looking at what the impact of COVID-19 has been, but more specifically, some of the assistance that has been earmarked for businesses. You know, is this something that's actually going to be reaching the SME sector, which we keep hearing about how important it is, but how much support is it really getting during this very difficult time? And to sort of help us navigate the topic, we are actually joined by Guy Hoskin, who is the Chief Financial Officer at Retail Capital. They are an SME funder. Guy, how are you?
Very good, thank you, Mudiwa, and yourself?
No, doing all right. I'm doing all right. Thank you so much for joining us on today's show. Usually, you know, on a Friday at the end of the week, we look at the economy and we tend to look at how you know, the macros are doing, GDP, lots of big numbers, and we try to relate the South African economy to other parts of the world, the rand and stuff like that. But for this week, we decided that, I guess, looking at the economy from the side of small businesses might be valuable given the actual contribution of the sector to the economy. So perhaps as a starting point, could you help us to perhaps get a flavor of what the SME sector actually looks like in South Africa and what type of contribution they are actually giving to the South African economy?
Sure. I mean, it's actually quite difficult to get the firm statistics on the number of SMEs in South Africa. I think the general consensus is there's about 1 million to 1.5 million formal SME businesses in South Africa. If you include the informal sector, it increases by a factor. So it's probably between 3 and 4 million in total SME businesses if you include the informal sector. From an employment point of view, they employ roughly about 9 million people and contribute 50 to 60% of the GDP. So as you can see, I mean, any way you look at it, it's a very significant part of the South African economy.
And I guess from your vantage point as Retail Capital, what type of impact have you guys sort of seen in the sector? And what does Retail Capital actually do, I guess, as you are answering that question?
So we're a small business lender. We've got roughly 10,000 customers currently. We've funded about 25,000 SMEs. So we've got a good sort of exposure to the sector. I mean, we mainly operate in the restaurant and the retail space. So very retail oriented. And I must say, I mean, we've seen a significant impact from COVID and from the lockdown on the SMEs. You know, I mean, just from my experience, I mean, we've been from some of our customers trading, we've had around 10 to 15% of them trading in April, which will just be the essential services businesses. We're recovering fairly nicely as the levels of the lockdown are rolled back. So we're probably sitting at about 70 to 75% of our businesses currently trading. But I mean, if you think about that, that means that there's 25% of SMEs that we are aware of. And I think you can probably look at the SME sector in South Africa as a whole and see that there's still a significant number of SMEs that aren't currently trading because of restrictions due to lockdown regulations.
I guess on the side of the SMEs and the funding, what type of funding do you guys, I guess, sort of give? And has any of that funding activity actually been impacted by what's going on?
So we mainly provide working capital funding. We also do have an asset finance product for SMEs. But the bulk of the business that we do is in working capital. And we've seen a significant impact. So obviously, with the businesses not trading under lockdown, you know, we've pulled back significantly in terms of the amount of funding that we've been able to provide for businesses. you know, and I think businesses have really been waiting for the restrictions to ease, so that they can then access finance again, and get up and running. So I think things are definitely picking up, and our customers are accessing finance again. But I think the last 3 months have been, you can see it's been a very significant impact in terms of the need for businesses using working capital funding, mainly because they just can't trade.
And on that front, that issue of not being able to trade, and actually just that broader issue of funding, the inability to trade and the lockdowns, etc., necessitated government to actually come out with a big stimulus package, you know, 500 billion rand. And a lot of it was actually geared towards the business sector. I think 200 billion odd actually set aside for businesses. In the SME sector, would you say that that small businesses have actually benefited, or have been that the funds that were earmarked for them have actually reached the people that they were meant to?
I think the short answer is no. I mean, I think the impact of the relief funds have been very limited. I mean, I've seen some statistics of, you know, out of the 200 billion set aside as a guarantee by the government, between 1 and 2 billion has been accessed by the SMEs. So there's been a significant shortfall in terms of the impact that the guarantee fund was intended to do. So the access to the SMEs for that fund has been very limited.
What are some of the reasons why, you know, things are the way they are? Because, you know, the numbers that you were talking about earlier on, if you're contributing, you know, at least about half of the country's GDP, then I would think more should be done to actually help these businesses gain access to some of this funding. Because at 1 or 2 billion, you know, out of the 200 million, that's like 1%.
Yeah, it's very small. So one of the reasons that the 200 billion guarantee fund hasn't had a lot of success is that it's administered by the banks. And traditionally, the banks are not really effective in funding SMEs. So the smaller the SME is, the less chance they have of being funded by the banks. So in doing that, you know, what the government's really asking the banks to do is to fund a sector that they traditionally haven't been good at funding, and funding a sector that's extremely distressed at the moment. There's also a challenge with some of the mechanics of the fund. I mean, one of the main sort of the economics of the fund is that the banks must stand good for the first 6% of losses that they'll incur in the fund. And then the government will guarantee anything above 6%. But there's also a pricing cap on what the banks can charge in terms of interest to the SMEs. So if you work that through, it actually makes the guarantee fund money potentially loss-making for the bank, and particularly if they go into more higher-risk businesses, which are the areas that need the support. So what is happening is that the banks are using some of the funds, but they're only funding the very low-risk customers and the businesses that are not in distress and not really needed. So there's a challenge with the structure of the guarantee fund.
You know, I think the way that you've just explained it now, you know, sort of makes, you know, puts into concrete an important factor that because this is not something that's being done directly by the government, the way that they've done the UIF and the Temporary Employer Relief Scheme, there is still some type of, can I call it a profit motive, where the usual risk averseness of the financial services sector is really, you know, coming to the fore at the moment, to the detriment of some of the businesses that would be benefiting from this. Am I understanding that correctly?
I think there's an element of that, and I think that is fair. So I mean, banks, you know, they have depositors' funds. They obviously have shareholders and they need to safeguard, and that's their sort of primary motive. So, you know, for them to enter into an arrangement, which I think they know is going to be loss-making for them, is quite difficult for them to do. So I do think that is a challenge. You know, the other challenge of it is that, you know, banks typically that need security. So they'll lend to businesses that can provide, either the owner or the business can provide security on the back of the lending. But the businesses that are typically now in distress don't have those assets that the business owner can put up. So that'll disqualify them for the bank funding. You know, even in a normal environment, they wouldn't qualify for bank funding. Which is why, you know, there's now a sector of non-bank lenders within South Africa who are more interested in the cash flows of the business rather than the balance sheet. So they'll look at the trading history of the business. And be able to lend to the business on the back of that trading history rather than rely on the assets. And it makes it a much more viable model for funding SMEs.
And then, you know, on that same front, how do you perhaps think the whole thing could be perhaps improved? Because there are all these businesses that you're talking about that aren't able to get this money, you know. So how would you say you know, might be a better approach to giving some of these businesses that need a lifeline a way out?
So I know that government, and it came out in the finance minister's speech, that they are looking at relooking at the restrictions and how the guarantee fund actually works. So I think government should be looking at using the non-bank lenders who have been more successful in financing SMEs. So there's a segment of financiers in South Africa that focus specifically on SME finance and are getting very good traction in being able to finance those SMEs. Those are the businesses with the processes and the methods of being able to work with the SMEs and really get funding to them on scale, which I think is something that the 200 billion scheme is not able to do just because of the nature of the banks lending to SMEs.
On that issue of the non-bank you know, lending, would you say that's sort of where you guys as Retail Capital are sort of playing?
Yeah, we're definitely one of the players. So, I mean, there are quite a few SME lenders in South Africa. We are one of the players. So I know that at the moment there is a proposal sitting with National Treasury from a group called the South African SME Finance Association, SASFA. Retail Capital is a member of that, as well as a number of other of the lenders. And really the idea there is to access some government funding to assist those lenders to finance the distressed SME businesses. Through the SASFA network and their partners, you know, there's probably 200,000 to 300,000 SME businesses that they can that they have contact with, that they can access to be able to disperse the funds. And those are the businesses that really need the funding right now. It's the small businesses that have been most significantly impacted by the COVID crisis.
And then outside of the funding issues that we're talking about, you know, and perhaps the alternative funding, from your, you know, point of view, you did mention in the beginning that about, you know, the 15% to 20% of businesses were trading under essential services, and now that number has gone up to about 70% of, you know, SMEs that you guys are aware about. So from where you're sitting, what type of businesses have sort of been able to grow during this time? Has been, you know, it seems to have been a tale of mixed fortunes, you know, these lockdowns, you know, that where some are in dire straits, others have actually been able to see new opportunities and, you know, grow during this time.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think there are opportunities out there. And I mean, I suppose the interesting thing with the crisis that we've been through, and any crisis, is it tends to accelerate trends within the market. I suppose one of the things that's most obvious is online purchases. So, you know, in this type of environment where consumers are not comfortable walking into, you know, brick and mortar stores to buy things. They're a lot more comfortable buying things online. So there's been a significant uptake in online spending, you know, in South Africa. I suppose takeaway foods is the other area. You know, there's some businesses that since opening that specialize in takeaway foods have been having an unbelievable time. They've been hitting record turnover levels. So there are pockets, you know, where businesses are trading very well. And I think the key there is really about how innovative, you know, the small business is to take advantage of those opportunities. You know, if you're a retailer, how quickly can you enable yourself to go online to be able to sell your product? Because if you do that successfully, then you could certainly have good sales through that channel.
And then on the same front, I guess this the funding issue and also just what type of businesses are out there. You know, what's sort of your advice for, you know, the small businesses that are out there to perhaps take advantage, or maybe not take advantage, but to at least make it through this time?
You've got to start at the customer and look at the customer want, what the customer wants. So, you know, and that's exactly what we're seeing. So, you know, we're in an environment where, you know, customers are not necessarily comfortable about going into a store on you know, in the normal sort of way that we're used to. So the business really has to look at their customer and say, how is the customer going to be comfortable to transact in my store? And I mean, I'm seeing it quite a lot. I mean, you know, if you just go to the shops now, you can see the way that businesses take, you know, their cleanliness and the hygiene and the safety, you know, of COVID into account when you're in that store. And that then sort of makes you feel comfortable to come and shop in that store, or go to the hairdresser, or whatever it is. So it's really sort of trying to look at what the customer wants, making them feel safe, making them feel comfortable to actually go out and transact in a safe way.
Yeah, no, I think that issue of safety, you know, and taking the customer seriously is going to be a big one, you know, going forward. And especially, I saw the other day that some of the restaurants are now using their car parks as a way to, you know, serve some of their patrons who come in and want to dine. You know, you sort of dine, I'm going to call it al fresco, but you know, it seems to be, you know, one of those, I guess, adoptions. As we close off, Guy, how are you feeling about the economy? Because I'm sure as people that are funding businesses, you guys are probably modeling, you know, different scenarios about where the economy could go. Because at the end of the day, you guys do want to see some type of return on the businesses that you guys are investing in.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I'm obviously a lot more positive than I was a few months ago. So I think, you know, the economy in general is picking up, and you can see the activity levels. So I think that's very positive. I mean, our experience is, you know, and even before this time, the South African economy was in a very low growth environment. You know, there was lots of commentary about the health of the South African economy. And we've always been very, very surprised at the resilience of the SME sector and how robust our entrepreneurs are and how they can make it work. You know, we've been seeing that through how quickly people can adjust to the new rules and the new way of working. Can they go online quickly? How do we get takeaways to our customers? You know, it's all of that type of thing, which is very innovative. So, you know, by and large, I'm always very positive and bullish on the South African SMEs just because of their resilience, you know, and their entrepreneurship. So yeah, overall, I'm positive, and things are looking up.
Positive that things are looking up. That was us with the Guy Hoskin, who is the Chief Financial Officer at Retail Capital. They are an SME funder that is actually supporting about 10,000 businesses, from what he was saying. And he was just talking about what the SME sector has actually looked like over this lockdown period, just talking about the fact that it's hard to get some firm numbers around what the SME sector actually looks like, but by some estimates, it's about 9 million people that are employed by that sector, which is a large chunk of the South African economy and GDP contribution, you know, almost half of the economy, you know, in that sector. So it's a very important part of the economy. But he's just highlighting the fact that despite the importance of SMEs, they seem to have gotten the short end of the stick when it comes to the funding that has come from the government's stimulus package, the 200 billion that has been guaranteed, only one or two billion rand of that has actually gone to SME, simply because perhaps some of the banks are not, you know, that willing to fund some of the riskier businesses. And he's just advocating that perhaps non-bank, you know, SME lenders might be a better channel through which to channel some of these funds. Also talking about the fact that there are opportunities, especially for businesses that find new and interesting ways to actually adapt their businesses. So that's been it. Thank you so much to Guy. Guy, how can people perhaps continue the conversation if they want to engage with you?
So they can go onto our website, www.retailcapital.co.za. And we've got a lot of information there, you know, for SMEs, you know, advice, you know, there is the option to apply for funding. So, yeah, have a look at the website. It's all up there.
Actually, as a quick follow-up to that one, we didn't address this one earlier on. What sort of size funding are you guys sort of looking at? Because I know that usually people have, you know, certain thresholds, you know, maybe 100,000, maybe a million. What type of funding are you guys actually giving?
So we do a full range. I mean, we'll do from an extremely small deal for a micro business will be 5,000 rand for us. And we'll take that all up to, you know, five million rand is at the top end. And that's that full range. So we really try and service SMEs for that full range.
Okay. So that's been us with Guy Hoskin, also just ending off at the end, talking about, it's a full range. You can, you know, they've done deals from 5,000 rand all the way to, 5 million rand. So thank you so much to Guy for joining us on to this edition.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
It's very sad to see and hear what's going on in the small business space, particularly when the government has given a facility of that 200 billion. And perhaps this is one of those instances where we can, you know, perhaps say that the private sector is perhaps not the best suited, or, you know, the best conduit through which some of these funds should be flowing. It's all good and well to, you know, be providing, I guess, some type of a guarantee, but the private sector will be the private sector, and they will not take on more risky, you know, sort of ventures. So we're unlikely to see that trend turn unless there is some direct intervention from the government. Perhaps that needs to be the way forward, but at the same time, perhaps taking that role away from some of the banks and rather giving it to alternative finance houses, for example, or perhaps just the government itself, just taking that responsibility and dispersing you know, the funds itself, the way that it has with the TERS benefits and the UIF, perhaps, you know, where they just take on that responsibility and they give the money and let it go to who it's meant to. Because in the last couple of months, for us to be hearing that perhaps less than 1% of the money that's meant to be earmarked for a sector that contributes, you know, close to half of the country's GDP is actually quite ridiculous, and it's something that definitely does need to be fixed. So that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live, that is under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. And then on Twitter, we're #BDSpotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.